Today on Vox Talks, gun ownership and the homicide rate. Welcome to Vox Talks from the Center for Economic Policy Research. My name is Tim Phillips. Jair Bolsonaro, president of Brazil, is a strong advocate of more people carrying more guns. Soon after he was elected, he loosened Brazil's gun laws, announcing that the right to legitimate self-defense cannot continue to be violated. Unlike in the US, gun ownership is not a constitutional right in Brazil, and also unlike the US. 15 years earlier, Brazil had passed a significant piece of federal gun control legislation. It banned the carrying of concealed weapons, and it made it much harder to buy a gun. Rodrigo Schneider of Skidmore College has been investigating what happened after this 2003 law was passed. He recently presented the paper he wrote about his findings at the 72nd Economic Policy Panel meeting, and it will soon be published in Economic Policy. Rodrigo joins me today. Welcome to Vox Talks.
Hi, team. Thank you very much for having me here. It's always a pleasure talking about my research.
Well, it's actually a pleasure to talk about this research. It's really interesting. But Rodrigo, first of all, talk to me about the early 2000s in Brazil. How big a problem were gun homicides?
So Brazil had this high trend in homicides increasing, especially in the 80s, and then it sharply increased in the 90s. In the early 2000s, we're talking about almost 40,000 gun-related homicides per year in Brazil. So we were the country with the largest number of gun-related homicides in the world by far. Even if you take into account per capita, we are still top five at the time. The problem is still there, but it was mitigated by the policy that we're going to be talking about today.
And what did this 2003 legislation change? And how big were the punishments if you broke this 2003 law?
So basically, this law said everyone in the country is prohibited to carry a gun. It was a harsh policy, not only because it imposed a large penalty, but also it gave you a short time to adapt to this policy. And it was extended to everyone in the country, with some exception, of course, like police officers and also private security workers. But overall, basically everyone in the country couldn't carry a gun. So you asked about the fine. To be more specific, the fine went from 1 to 3 months of incarceration, which wasn't actually mostly enacted because it was a bail offense. So if you were caught carrying a gun, you would go to jail, but then you would pay a fine and then it would be out of it. And then it changed from 1 to 3 months to 2 to 4 years, and it became a no bail offense. So you couldn't get out of jail. You would stay there for at least 2 years.
Gosh, and it also had this promise of a later referendum, didn't it, on prohibiting the sale of all firearms?
Exactly. So this was an interesting part of the legislation. So basically, 2 months after the enactment of the law, almost 2 years after it, Brazilians would decide whether the law should be imposing even harsher restrictions and if the policy should also prohibit Brazilians to own a gun. So it would prohibit gun ownership if the referendum passed, which failed to pass.
You lived through all of this, Rodrigo. I think you're old enough. How controversial was this law at the time? What were the arguments that were being made?
So interestingly, I was thinking about that. I mean, I voted for the referendum. Of course, in 2003, I wasn't involved in politics as much as I do today, as this is my job. But I remember that it wasn't a controversial policy for two reasons. First, we are not much involved in politics in Brazil. We don't look so much at what the Congress is doing. This has been more recently updated, and we are now more focusing on policies and understanding how Congress and the judiciary works in Brazil. At the time, not so much. And the second thing that I would emphasize is that Brazilians were overall against guns. So it was about 70% of the people that were initially in favor of the gun ownership prohibition. Even though the referendum failed to pass initially, 70% of the people were in favor of banning guns. So I think Brazil was in favor of this policy. It wasn't very controversial at the time.
You analyzed the impact of this 2003 law on gun homicides. How did you do that?
I use the most efficient way to do so in statistics is a very sharp statistical model that, although it is very precise, it cannot always be used. And that's the problem with gun ownership. Most of the legislation do not allow for this sort of statistical analysis to be done. But luckily, our Brazilian legislation allow for statistical measurement that tries to capture something that changes abruptly in time. And that's what happens in Brazil. Like, one day you can carry, next day, if you carry, you go to jail. It is a sharp change, and everyone in the country has to react if they want to obey the law, of course, from one day to the other. And therefore, I use an analysis called regression discontinuity design, which is very precise analysis in statistics and econometrics that shows credible results. However, not always can be applied. Luckily, this was the case that it could.
Yes, and we can't show the pictures in your paper, but you have a line and then a break in the line, and then the line carries on at a lower rate, implying that there were fewer homicides. How big was the effect of the law in lives that were not lost?
Most conservative estimate shows a decrease of 12.2%. in gun-related homicides 1 year after the law was enacted. This regression discontinuity design, this statistical model that I was mentioning to you, it exchanges generalization in the long run for precision. So that's why I say that is the most conservative estimation. It only covers 1 year of the law. So we're talking here about 4,400 lives that were spared by the enactment of this law in 2004.
And did gun violence in general decrease as well?
Yeah, so unfortunately, Brazil doesn't have data on all municipalities available for other gun-related crimes. But São Paulo state allows us to see other crimes like theft and robbery and drug trafficking and so on. And you can see that robbery, which is a sort of crime that is committed with guns, because by definition, the perpetrator sees the victim. So 93% of the cases, the criminal has a gun with him or her. I was robbed once and the person pointed me the gun, because this is more effective to make the robbery goes fast and the victim doesn't have time to try to react or call the police. So those sort of crimes involving guns also decreased. Robbery, for instance, decreased by 15% 1 year after the enactment of the law.
And how sure can you be that these effects were caused by the legislation rather than something else?
This is a difficult question because, as everything in science, you can't always be 100% sure. So what I try to do is to use the most precise statistical tools that we have and also the very good quality data from Brazil. And this analysis showed me that there was a decrease in gun-related homicides. And I tried to show the robustness of my results by creating placebo tests, like creating dates that were fake dates for the enactment of the law, and there is no statistical significant results in those cases. Or I also tried to look at other potential alternative explanations that could be happening, like another policy that is changing simultaneously with the law, and that there's nothing to do with the law, and it is decreasing homicides because of that. So for instance, I look at non-gun related homicides and I do not find any effect of the law on this sort of crime. So this mitigates concerns with alternative explanations. But of course, you have a confidence interval and you say that with statistical precision of 95% of confidence, I can say that this is probably the reason why there was a decrease in gun related homicides, but it is never 100%.
Sure. And then we get to the referendum a couple of years later. You said the referendum didn't pass. What was the result?
So the result was 36% in favor and the remaining were against the referendum. So 64% of Brazilians were against. And this was funny because, as I was mentioning previously, 70% of the population was in favor of prohibiting gun ownership. And what happened was that 3 weeks prior to the referendum, Brazil allowed campaigns to start. And the campaign against the ban of ownership was better financed. They had more money. NRA helped them, so they had better advertising campaigns. And they used a sort of argument that made people in Brazil anxious and afraid of changing the status quo. The most appealing propaganda that they used was that the problem is not for you to have a gun. The problem is that the perpetrator is going to know for sure that you don't have a gun. He's going to invade your property and murder you and your family. So these sort of arguments worked. And interestingly, interestingly, it worked especially well among people that do not experience gun violence. So the people that least supported the prohibition of gun ownership are the people that have low experience with gun violence. The tough neighborhoods that have a lot of exposure to gun violence, they were the ones that were more likely to stick with the banning of gun ownership even after all this effective propaganda against banning guns.
Yeah, these are arguments that in other parts of the world that are debated gun ownership people will be familiar with as well. And now time has moved on. And as I said, now Jair Bolsonaro is the president. And in 2019, one of the first things he did was he made it easier to own a gun. But also in 2019, the homicide rate in Brazil is falling again, and it had been rising earlier in the decade. So, Rodrigo, can we draw the opposite conclusion from this?
Again, the thing is that Bolsonaro tried to change some of the legislation. It was inconstitutional what he tried to do. So in terms of gun ownership, he had to back off on some parts, especially on the part that he tried to change about carrying gun. But indeed, he made it easier for people to buy guns. And there is an increase in the number of people buying guns in the country. But this situation did not allow us to use the same sort of statistical tools that we used before, because we need a sharp change, right? So if Jair Bolsonaro allows people in June to buy gun, it might be the case that you are going to need to wait for years so people can buy guns. And even though he made it easier, it doesn't mean that it is like you can buy today in a shopping mall, as it was the case prior to the 2003 legislation. So it takes time and so on. So even though in 2019 we saw a decrease in homicides, we cannot draw the opposite conclusion until we have data and until we make sure that we see some sort of ways to identify the impact of people having more guns, like variation across municipalities in Brazil and so on. So I would refrain from drawing conclusions until we have data and until we kind of find a way to to deal with COVID, because 2020 is going to be a weird year anyway. So maybe in a couple of years, we can try to draw some conclusions from the data.
Talking of drawing conclusions, this debate is being held in many other countries. Obviously, the comparison is with the United States. Can you take the result from Brazil and generalize this to other countries?
One thing that I would expect if I were to apply a legislation like that in Brazil, in the US, would be to have a sharper decrease if my results are right, because the US has better boundary controls, frontier controls than Brazil, and it also has a better law enforcement than Brazil. One thing that would make me conclude that the same is going to happen in the US is that there is this very nice research by Morgan Williams, which I have the honor to comment on it in a conference at Columbia University. So Morgan is a postdoc at NYU, in which he shows that in Missouri, there was a flexibilization of gun ownership. And what happened was that there was an increase in gun-related homicides. So mine says that there was a decrease, but there was a restriction. In his case, there was a flexibilization and an increase in gun-related homicides, so it would be similar to my results. And interestingly, he find a similar result to mine, which is to say that the results are driven by young Black males living in crime-ridden areas. So in my case, young Black males were disproportionately more favored by the law restricting guns. In his case, he's find that young Black males were disproportionately more murdered after the enactment of the law making gun ownership easier. So that is why I think the US would be having similar results as the one we had in Brazil if there was some sort of gun restriction.
Well, this is an issue that people have very strong priors about and get very emotional about as well on both sides of the question. So it's really important to have analysis like this. Rodrigo, thank you very much.
Thank you, Tim, for your time, and thank you for having me here. It was an honor to be here talking about my research.
Pleasure's all mine, Rodrigo, and it will be a pleasure for our audience, I predict, if they read your paper. It's called Crime and Political Effects of a Right to Carry Ban in Brazil, author Rodrigo Schneider. Of course, you can find a working paper version online now, or why not wait until it's published in Economic Policy and read it then. This has been a Vox Talk from the Center for Economic Policy Research. We bring you the most innovative economic research every week, so subscribe to Vox Talks, you'll never miss an episode. And remember, you can find 10 years of Vox Talks at voxeu.org/vox-talks.